It's time for Conversations in the Blue Chair, a bi-weekly podcast from the education team at Apartment Ratings and Satisfax, where we talk to renters and experts on trending topics impacting the multifamily industry. Now here are your hosts, Leah Nicole Smith and Jennifer Carter.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Conversations in the Blue Chair. I am Leah Nicole Smith.
And I am Jennifer Carter.
And this episode is all about neighbors.
The worst neighbors.
The worst neighbors. Now, I think we can all agree that at some point in our lives, we've had at least one, maybe two.
Maybe even three.
Yeah, neighbor stories to tell for sure. So we thought this was a good topic to add to the podcast, but we wanted to go even further and explore exactly what the management team's role or responsibilities are when it comes to certain neighbor issues. I mean, we all know that they can't solve every single problem. They can't, you know, make everyone get along and follow the rules, but you know, any information is good information, could be helpful. So our focus group today, we're going to hear from renters who are between the ages of 18 to 65 and have yearly incomes from $45,000 to $150,000 a year, and they have to be current renters in their communities for at least 1 year. So giving, you know, enough experience to kind of draw on to share those information, that type of information with you. So before we share our insight, let's hear from these renters.
Yes.
About some of their nightmare neighbor stories.
Yeah, let's see what they have to say.
So our worst interaction with neighbors, like I said again, a new crowd has come in that is pretty terrible. So the worst interaction was my husband and I were getting back from Publix and we pulled up in his vehicle. And we always park next to mine. We noticed my back window was smashed in. We looked around because we were like trying to figure out, was this a robbery? What was going on? Is the person still out there? And we saw a couple in a domestic dispute. His hand was cut and bleeding. We presumed he had punched the back of my window. He was dragging her around. We had to call the police. I would say that was our absolute worst interaction. We didn't directly confront them because I didn't want to get involved in a domestic dispute, but like I said, we immediately called the police from his vehicle because we were not going to just let that go either. It looked like he was going to be beating her, so I would say that was our worst interaction with neighbors.
I live on the third floor of a building, and on the first floor, kind of basically right below my balcony, someone was shot. I live in an apartment that costs $1,500 a month, and someone's getting shot outside.
The neighbor was a meth head, to be completely honest. They did a decent amount of drugs, and it was pretty hard to prove, but you could kind of just take a look at them and some of their behaviors. And after some time, the damage to their face. They took somebody else's car, used somebody else's car, rear-ended my fiance's car, and like through the front bumper into some of the inner workings of the vehicle, making it not even be able to work, and then just decided to disappear for a week, and then like came in and stole a bunch of stuff. And there's a lot of issues of like their kids running around and not wearing diapers and pooping everywhere as well. So it was like a landmine outside of certain areas of the apartment. You go out and there's just like paved driveway and everywhere, and or a diaper. So yeah, a lot of weird.
Well, wow, those are definitely some nightmare stories. All of them.
We're kind of speechless.
Yes, yeah. For sure. So each year we track the top five value drivers, and currently neighbors is coming in at number three. Right now, number three is actually the highest it's been since first appearing as one of the top five. Our study really tells us that neighbors is just so important to residents. And even though it may be hard to manage, it's something I think that we need to really maybe understand and hear the feedback from the renters today. So first up is George, who is 34, and he lives in Ashburn, Virginia. And George's story involves noise, which is actually pretty common,
pretty
right?
Pretty typical, yeah.
Pretty typical. And so, of course, you all can probably relate. But let's listen in on his feedback on whether management actually was able to resolve his complaint.
Well, we went directly to our management team. It actually took several times. We had to email them twice and then go to them once in person. And I would say that they were not effective in resolving the issue at all. They obviously couldn't tell us anything about the interaction that they had themselves with the occupants upstairs. But after about a week or two, maybe a little longer, they just said that they had a discussion with the occupants upstairs and made them aware of the issue. And if there was ever another noise complaint, that we could go to them directly. But absolutely nothing came of the issue. We tried to continue to have discussions with the occupants ourselves, which without the management company stepping in, that could lead to really awkward and contentious situations, because I feel like the management company should be there to sort of mediate for us, and they weren't. And the noise never stops. It hasn't stopped at all, and there's nothing we could do about it other than just wait for our lease to be over and make it clear that the reason that we're moving on to a different apartment complex is because it's untenable to live where we are with the amount of noise, and that the management company has not stepped in at all to help alleviate the issue.
So we also heard from Emily, who's 28 and lives in Dallas. In the very beginning, she was the one that was talking about the shooting.
Yes.
Below her.
Her safety.
Yes. So she's really concerned, obviously, about her safety. So we also asked her about the management team's involvement in resolving the concerns. Were they effective? And just overall, how do they handle those types of issues for the residents?
So again, this is another one of those areas where they weren't totally honest and straightforward. Like with the situation where someone was shot, they kind of played it off like it didn't happen on our property. It happened across the street, and they pretended, you know, they just played it off like trying to spin it as not bad PR, when it really should have. It was a very serious safety concern that should have been addressed. So I would assume if there were tensions between neighbors, they wouldn't be the most proactive in that either.
All right. So we've actually now heard from George and Emily, and we have another one to share with you. And this time her name is Nicole, and she's 35 and currently lives in New York. And she has a very different neighbor story. And you'll probably understand just a second while we're chuckling. A story that involves dogs, which again, very relatable, you know, in our world today. And with that, let's listen in and see what her story is all about.
Okay, so I had a neighbor who had a dog, a large dog, and for some reason, the dog seemed to always be out. He was always out of the apartments. And whenever we would open our apartment door, the dog would run into our house. It would jump on the couch, it would jump on some other piece of furniture, and it was very, very odd and very, very stressful. And it happened after about 3 or 4 times. After the first time, I complained to the neighbor, and he promised that he would keep the dog away. He would keep the dog in the house. And if we were coming out of the house, you know, he would make sure that the dog was locked up or something like that. And so I said, okay. And so the next time I went out, dog didn't run in. I didn't see the dog. The time after that, the dog was outside and he was barking as he usually does. He ran right into my door, which the dog was really fast. And we wouldn't, you know, there was no time really to react. You come out the door, you turn around, I'm picking something up, I'm getting my kids or something like that. And the dog had time to just run into the house. And I went back to him again and complained again about the dog running into our house and running into our apartment, and he, you know, made the same promises. He promised, I'll get him, you know, next time, you don't have to worry about it. You know, please don't complain to management. Please, you know, don't worry about it, things like that. And so it happened a few more times after that. And my partner got really pissed, and we ended up, well, really upset. And we ended up having an argument with his neighbor, just not really yelling, but really snappy really snide comments to one another, being really snappy to one another. And I ended up going to the property manager because I didn't know what else to do. His dog was actually too large to be in the apartment. So that was why he didn't want us to report him in the first place, because the dog was too large to be there. So he knew that he was breaking a major rule. And when the property manager found out about the incident, they came in about a few days, I want to say 2 or 3 days, and they investigated. They found out that, you know, he had this dog that was actually too large to be in the apartment. And he was given an ultimatum: either remove the dog or you are removed. And so he removed the dog. So he sent the dog away.
Okay, so as a dog owner.
Me too.
Yes, we love our doggies. As a dog owner, I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, like I was
opening your door and then having a dog just run and jump on your couch.
Oh my goodness.
And a big one.
Yeah, at least, yeah, I have a little lap dog. Yeah. But yeah, but that is quite a story.
Quite a story.
Yeah, I do like, though, that she was, you know, she really gave sort of props to the management team.
She did, yeah.
And how they were able to handle the concerns, you know, making sure that she went to them, getting them involved, you know, as opposed to, you know, just kind of trying to suffer in silence, yes. I guess, if you will.
Exactly, exactly. I personally think that, you know, everyone these days wants to live in a cohesive, peaceful, and friendly living, mm-hmm. right? And so I think it comes back to management trying to create that experience for each resident. So kind of to your point where she went to the management team and allowed them to kind of help out as much as they can. Because what we know is a sense of community and neighbors are two of the renewal drivers, sense of community being number one and neighbors being number three. And I think those really kind of tie together when it comes to the renewal.
Talking about sense of community and talking to renters about sense of community, we saw such a difference that having that attachment, you know, having that sort of we're all looking out for each other, or management contributes to the sense of community, the impact that that has on residents even just wanting to stay.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So with that, kind of knowing management teams, I think, you know, she's really highlighting they do play a large role in creating that wow experience for residents, especially when it comes to handling, you know, neighbors' complaints.
You know, if you have an issue, I would say an ongoing issue with the neighbor, going to property management is always the right thing to do. I think, you know, because I've had friends, family in the past who've had issues with neighbors and they didn't report them to property management. And I think that going to property management can help resolve a situation very quickly and resolve it, I think, in the safest, most respectful manner, the best manner for both sides.
So now it's time for our 5 in 5, which is our way of just giving you little takeaways, I guess, at the end of each podcast. So we have number one, have a plan. All starts with a plan. You got to have a plan. And when we say have a plan, it's that procedure. How do you handle a noise complaint? How do you handle a complaint involving pets? How do you handle, you know, complaints regarding parking, or, you know, issues regarding parking? Now, it's not going to be, you know, cut and dry. There's going to have to be some room given the different types of variables. But if your residents are aware, these are the rules, these are the policies, this is how we are going to enforce everything going forward, then you always have sort of something to fall back on.
Yes.
It's not like you're just kind of winging it.
Well, and I think it helps too that no matter who's in the office knows how to handle something, and the residents know the expectation.
Right.
So
right.
Having a plan is great. Number two, stand in their shoes. So of course, this is their home. We want to make sure that, you know, we're really have some empathy when it comes to these types of situations, because even something to us that may be trivial is probably monumental to them, right? Whether that's noise or dogs, of course, safety, just depends on the situation. But of course, it's their home. They're the ones, in that home, living in that home. And we want to, make sure we can understand and have the opportunity to stand in their shoes.
Yeah, and we always say it's business for us, yes, but it's personal for them. Exactly. So any way that we can kind of, make sure that residents are as comfortable as possible,
yes,
in their home.
Absolutely.
Number three, know your residents. The more that you know your residents, the better you're able to understand them and their situations, the better you're able to show that you care. And when you know your residents, you also know those who are not your residents. Mm. So those unfamiliar faces, or, something just doesn't seem right. Or even something just doesn't seem right with this resident. If you know who they are, you know their story, you know things about them, you can kind of tell when things are off, and that kind of could even give you a heads up.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely work with your maintenance team, because they are some good eyes and
ears.
Oh,
they know it all. They know it all.
Number four is build networks. So make introductions. There's nothing better than neighbors knowing each other. So the more residents know who their neighbors are, the better they can even understand each other's situations.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like when my neighbor, when I lived in an apartment community, they had just had a baby. And so I was very aware of how loud my TV was. I was never loud to begin with, but you just kind of think about those things.
Sure.
Making sure that you're not disturbing anyone, but it's because I knew them. I knew what was going on. I felt like I'm going to help look out for you, because in turn, they're going to look out for me.
Sure.
Tell me when my lights are on in the parking lot. You know, something as simple as that. Everyone's kind of looking out for each other. But those kind of connections, it all starts with the management team.
Yes, absolutely. And lastly, be consistent and diligent.
Yes.
So ensure that all of the neighbor issues are handled in the same way, which kind of goes back to number one, which is have that plan so that everyone in the office knows. And of course, document meetings and conversations. So again, everybody is, on the same page.
And if all of the, all of the residents are treated equally, if you will, or held to the same standard or, the same policies, you're really covering yourself in terms of fair housing as well.
Yep, absolutely. So we definitely hope you enjoyed this podcast of the worst nightmare stories, but also was able to take away some great feedback.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
You never know who will be joining us in the Blue Chair. Click the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss a show. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Conversations in the Blue Chair with Leah Nicole Smith and Jennifer Carter, the education team at Apartment Ratings and Satisfacts. Educators, not data collectors.